Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy, the podcast that empowers you to transform life's challenges into opportunities for personal growth and healthier relationships. We're your hosts, Tim and Ruth Olson, licensed marriage and family therapists and trauma experts.
As experienced therapists with backgrounds in addressing trauma and mental health disorders, we believe there is hope and there certainly is healing.
We have spent our lives supporting people through the ups and downs, and we want to share these insights with you. Together, we'll unravel the layers of personal growth, healing from trauma, and building healthy relationships. Each week, we'll bring you engaging conversations, expert insights, and practical strategies to help you heal from the past, foster healthy communication, and develop enduring love.
This podcast is your guide to transforming adversity into triumph, healing wounds and past trauma, gaining wisdom and insight, and creating meaningful, fulfilling connections. So if you're here to heal, to better understand yourself or your relationships, you're in the right place. So sit back, get comfortable,
bring your trauma and your drama,
and let's start healing.
Welcome to Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the podcast. We're so excited to have you guys here with us today. What we're going to be discussing is the idea that if you have some type of emotional deficit, sometimes it feels like you're always chasing after a goal, and even if you achieve it, it still never seems like it's enough.
So we're going to start out with a quote from Cool Runnings. So if some of you guys remember that movie, you know that it was iconic in the 1990s. And it's this idea of the Jamaican bobsled team, and they were the underdogs, and they were going to go to the Olympics and compete in this sport that really was not popular in their country. And so before they go out and compete, John Candy, who plays the coach, stops them and says, "A gold medal is a wonderful thing, but if you're not enough without it, you'll never be enough with it." And I read this quote actually in a book that I was reading in high school, and it was a really big realization for me. So let me share a little backstory of that. So when you think about your gold medal, what is it that you have been chasing after? Like, if only I got this, or if only I achieved this, then I would be enough. Like, if only I could meet whoever I'm going to get married to and marry them, then I would be enough. Or if only I could get this job promotion. Or if I get this cool car that I've been wanting forever. Or once I get the house with the white picket fence, then I'll feel like I'm enough and I finally made it. But you have to realize that if you are not enough right now who you are, then once you get that, that thing is not going to fulfill you. It may help you feel more accomplished, but there's still going to be deficits. It's not going to wash all your problems away. And so for me, I actually read that quote in a dating book when I was in high school. And, you know, I did apply it to that and where I was at in my life. Like, oh, once I meet my husband, then I'll be enough. And I did apply it to that, but it also applied to another big area of my life. And I don't know how much of it I've shared on this podcast. I think I've shared a little bit. But this story that I'm about to tell is actually one of the main reasons that we got involved in EMDR. Because I had EMDR done for me because of this issue. Now, it may seem small to a lot of people, but for me, my gold medal was once I have the perfect smile. So I have a lot of dental trauma and just genetic dental problems. And I've had to have a lot of dental work done, a lot of dental surgeries, and a lot of other procedures done. And I won't go into the whole story, but really this started probably in middle school. And so in middle school, and probably even before that, they started realizing that I have a lot of genetically missing teeth. And during that age, you know, you're concerned about your appearance. You're concerned what other people think of you. And I had braces and they put spacers in there so that they could put fake teeth on it. But back then, there wasn't as good technology as there is today. And so on my braces, I would have these brackets that had these fake teeth to kind of hold those place, but also for cosmetics so it didn't show the missing teeth. But I could never chew gum or have apples, you know, all the things that people normally can't have with braces. But it was especially important for me because if I bit down on anything, those teeth would break off. And I felt like for me, that always happened when I was at a sleepover or I was at some kind of camp where I was away from home. And I actually don't remember too much of it in middle school, but once I got into high school, it really did affect me. Because at that point, the braces came off, and now I had a bridge, which really is a partial denture. And so for me in high school, that was really hard because I felt like I was just faking it. And I felt like, okay, I would be in school and I had friends and, you know, I was even a cheerleader, but I would go home and I would take off this partial and I would feel like just a total fake. And oh man, if people really knew who I was or what I looked like, they would never want to be friends with me or they would never date me. And so I really didn't tell anyone. And I can even remember a time in high school where I went to go pick up my best friend who just lived up the road. And I drove by her house and she was reaching for the car to get in. And I just drove away because I realized that I had forgot to put my partial in. So I ran home, I grabbed it, put it in, I came back up. And her and I always had this running joke about like, oh, why are you so late? And we would always say like we were looking for socks. And so when I went back to pick her up, she was just totally like, what was that or what happened? And I just told her, oh, I had to go find socks, which didn't make any sense because I could have let her in the car and then went to go find socks. And so I just said, oh, I had to go get socks. And then we just kind of drove away and went on with our day. And that was the kind of thing I had to think about all the time. Are people going to find me out? Am I going to forget to put it in? Am I going to eat something and it's going to break? And I felt like it broke often. And like I said, things aren't the same as they are now. In my mind, I could not believe that people did not notice. In my mind, I felt like, oh, everybody knows the secret of mine because I would look in the mirror and I could see how ugly they were, which then translated to I'm ugly, which then in my mind would spiral down to I'm not good enough. Why would they pick me to be a part of a cheerleading team? Why would these people even be friends with me? Why would my boyfriend at the time date me? And it would just spiral and spiral and spiral. And it was a fear that I had all through high school that I would be found out and people would really see who I really was and how ugly I really was. And so I really did feel like I was always living behind this mask.
And I think, too, you struggled with this for so long. And the longer you struggle with it, the more it kind of compounded and the more painful it became for you. I remember when we had first started dating, I think we were dating for a couple weeks or a couple months maybe, and then you sat me down and you're like, there's something really important that I need to tell you. And I remember like the way you kind of phrased it, I was like, oh God, like what could it be? Like I was freaking out. I was like, what is she going to tell me? Oh my gosh, is this going to be something that I can handle or maybe I can't handle it? And I remember when you told me, like it was actually like a relief. I was like, oh, well that doesn't bother me. That's not anything nearly as awful as I was like imagining in my mind. And I think a part of that deep pain and hurt that you experienced all the way through kind of your life built it up into your head to be something so much larger. But then for me, the person that you were worried was going to reject you or think you were ugly because of it, it didn't faze me at all. It wasn't hard for me to handle at all.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the many things that I love about you is that this thing that was so huge in my mind, and you're right, it was years and years and years of really beating myself up over this, where I worried, would anyone ever want to marry me if they knew the truth about me? And I can't remember how quickly I told you, but I probably did tell you early on because I felt like, well, if this is the man who's going to marry me, he has to know it, and I don't want to have this great relationship and then this ruin it. So before we really get in any deeper, I wanted to be able to share it. And so I could figure out, is this something that could be lasting?
And I think you probably told me earlier than you remember, but I remember early in our relationship, we were talking about marriage pretty quickly. And I think that probably prompted you to share that because you're afraid if I found out that then I wouldn't want to get married to you or that that would end up being like a deal breaker for me. But again, like for me, that was like such small beans. I remember being shocked that it seemed like you were making such a big deal about it because it didn't affect me that much. But also like I didn't live through that experience with you. But as far as for me, you being somebody who was viable, like relationship material, that wasn't even a part of the cards for me. That didn't affect my decision-making process for you at all. But for you, it was this big thing that you thought people would really judge you for and that people would discount you or that they would leave you if they found out this was the case.
And so that all kind of ties back and goes back to this idea and this quote where a gold medal is a wonderful thing, but if you're not enough without it, you'll never be enough with it. And for me, that gold medal was a beautiful smile, or it was just a smile that was permanent. It didn't even have to be beautiful in my mind, because in my mind, that was so far off. That felt like not even an option. Like, I could not even comprehend that that was even possible. And so for me, that gold medal was a smile. And it really was in my master's program where all of this kind of came together. And this quote came up time and time again for me. And it was almost as if the Lord was saying, like, Ruth, you have to recognize that you are enough, that you are enough in me and in who I've created you to be. Because I always thought, once I get this gold medal, then people will like me. And so I have the same challenge for you guys. What is your gold medal? What is that thing where you think, once I have this, then I'll be enough? Because I really think this idea that if you're not enough without it, you'll never be enough with it. And there was a lot of years of me trying to make things happen and trying to seek out different doctors and insurance and all these things to get the smile that I wanted, but it always fell flat. And I remember it was actually in one of our classes for the master's program where I was supposed to lead a group, and I used this quote on the gold medal where people began to share what their gold medal was. And I even put that quote on a little mirror and handed it out to everyone in the group. But I realized that really the Holy Spirit was telling me, like, this is for you. You need to work through this. And I was trying to teach it to others, but I hadn't fully worked through it.
And I do think it's funny that you're handing it out in a mirror. It's almost like a subliminal message to yourself. Like, you should be thinking about yourself, who you see in the mirror when you're saying this.
Oh, for sure. And I was convicted by it because I really did feel like the Lord settled me down and was like, all right, you have to come to terms that you are enough. You are enough in me and who I've created you to be. And honestly, no joke, like once I did that and I came to the point of, if I never am able to correct my smile, if I am never able to get to the place where I want to be, that I will trust that this is who God's created me to be and that I am enough. And not just that I'm enough, but I'm enough in Him, and that I'll find my identity and my hope and my joy and my love in Him and in who He is. And that changed everything for me. All right, you guys, we're actually going to pause there and end this episode, and then we'll continue in the next episode. This is actually not where we were intending to go with this episode, but I do want to be able to share the rest of this story with you guys. So I would love for you guys to tune into the next episode. All right, have a great day. And remember, your mind is a powerful thing. Thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. We hope that you enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful. If so, would you take 30 seconds and share it with a friend? Also, we'd love for you to leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. It lights us up to know that this podcast is helping you.
If you have any questions or a topic you'd like discussed in future episodes, visit our Facebook group. Just click the link in the description below. Although we are mental health providers, this podcast is for informational purposes only and is not intended to provide diagnosis or treatment. If you are struggling with persistent mental health issues, chronic marital issues, or feeling hopeless or suicidal, you are not alone. Help is available. Please seek professional help or call the National Suicide Hotline at 988.
Thank you again for joining us on Mr. and Mrs. Therapy. Remember, there's always hope and there's always help.